This is Michael. You're listening to Models of Masters, and I'm so grateful you're here. I'm breaking down personal stories, learned wisdom, and pieces of insight I hope can help you along your journey. Head over to my website, michaelbecker.org, for much more. And with that, let's get right into the show. The technological singularity is the point in which AI becomes indiscernible from human intelligence. The simulation point is the moment at which we'll be able to build an entire virtual world indistinguishable from our current reality. Both of these are intertwined, both are inevitable, and both are going to impact our world a lot sooner than people think. The concept of the technological singularity was actually first described by a guy named Werner Wing over 20 years ago, back in 1993. But you might be more familiar with futurist Ray Kurzweil, who also served as head of engineering at Google and later started Singularity University, but also helped to popularize and really expand upon the concept in a much more modern context. As I went through my own spiritual awakening, which reached its peak in 2020, 2021, I started to contemplate and read about and research a lot more about this singularity and what it would mean or what it would represent when it hit. Whether it would be this like single moment in time or a more gradual shift, I wasn't sure, but I knew that it was on the horizon and the signs were evident. I was watching the rapid pace at which we as a society have created and then adopted all of these new technologies, connected tech, smart tech, wearables, all of these. And I soon found myself diving into many of the more fear-based perspectives around transhumanism, the globalists' plan to turn us all into emotionless and obedient cyborgs, and their collective push to deteriorate humanness in any form, thus making obsolete natural rights, eliminating the very essence of what makes people, people. But as I've reintegrated the last few years, I've made a complete 180-degree turn in terms of how I view the eventual emergence of our consciousness, and indeed of our society, with technology. My philosophy now is simple. It's going to happen regardless of how we as a human race and as individuals feel about it. And it really won't be something that you can opt out of, at least not on the long tail. This is not necessarily to say that I desire it. It's merely recognizing that given the momentum and the machinery that's being created to further mechanize the world, this will eventually happen. And so I started to try to separate my hesitations and my skepticism about some of the agendas behind this push. And as I did, something began to dawn on me. We're not supposed to retain our present human form forever. Stagnation in one form has never been the case in our evolution to this point, and it won't be the case going forward. I realized as I sat back and pondered how technological evolution is actually a necessary and natural path of ascension of any intelligent species. Take away the agendas and the narratives and any preconceived biases or assumptions for a moment. I'm simply saying that as a species matures and evolves, it is supposed to become more advanced. It is supposed to change and grow and go where it has never been before. Conceivably, if a civilization is to get to a point where it's able to become spacefaring, if it gets to the point where it can traverse the galaxy, for example, it will have unquestionably developed and connected itself with technology that to us would look and feel like something out of the Twilight Zone. And so the question that begs as we approach this moment in time called the singularity, with our world still so divided, still largely stuck in unconsciousness, is not so much will it happen, it's how will it happen. And so I believe that the concern, the focus on the fear that I was feeling into 3, 4, 5 years ago, and that I saw a lot of my audience from my community of conscious followers on my theme page, which I ran from 2018 to 2023, I believe that this stemmed from the uncertainty around this question, not the idea that it could happen within our lifetime or that it could come to fruition in general. It was more that I think just people don't want to be forced to do it, right? People don't like the microchip agenda. People don't like the rhetoric around the cashless society because it feels like a big unknown. And it, in many ways, seems like it could be the opening of a can of worms to a very dystopian, dark tunnel that I think a lot of people assume will be pushed or pressed upon them by a tyrannical government or a corrupt company. And so the bottom line, and what I realized, is that people want to be able to retain their right to choose when, where, what, and to what extent they connect their humanness to the cloud, to anything synthetic. And you know, I used to be suspicious about all things AI. We're talking like 5+ years ago, partly because of the lens that I had on during that time when I first started learning about it. Again, in the context of a lot of the more negative narratives, you know, this supposed agenda to turn people into Borgs that I was reading about in David Icke's books, you know, movies that tend to villainize aliens and alternative life forms that pit robots versus humans or that position AI in some ruthless showdown that threatened all mankind. But then as I considered it in the context of reality, of more macro level ideas like innovation and evolution, even spiritual concepts like our return to oneness and the nature of reality itself, I realized that those things were the fear perpetuated and manifested, but that they weren't reality. And if this process can be pioneered by a few positively aligned players, then that dystopian future is actually going to be an improbability. And so I recently made the decision that I would rather be a part of this mounting tidal wave and this movement than to sit on the sidelines, sort of idly watching and just reacting or responding, right? And I'll talk more about that here in a second. As I continued to learn more, I also became more acutely aware of all the ways that smart technology already is helping people across so many areas of life, like mental handicaps, degenerative brain diseases, injuries, prosthetics, and a lot more. And as I observed some of these use cases in action, it actually helped me see the good side of human-computer interaction. The side that is, for example, restoring lost motor functions, and in some cases, allowing people to gain access to a second life. And so I came to the conclusion through this sort of secondary research process that it's our destiny to evolve with smart technology, not in spite of its encroachment on our kind. It's becoming clear that this is quite literally how we will take our next step as an evolving species. The fact is, technology, particularly connected and even biological tech, will be an incredible magnifier of human intellect, an amplifier of cognition, and a force multiplier of our inborn capacities to create and perform and thrive. I actually pulled out a snippet from an article that I wrote on my old blog because I think it encapsulates this idea nicely. Humanity is in the midst of making a massive quantum leap forward that will mark our transition from a primitive, earthbound humanoid race to a technologically driven species capable of innovations orders of magnitude greater than anything we've imagined thus far. This process is the same process that all ascended planetary species undergo at some point. With regard to form, the general trajectory an ascending species takes is from physical to technological to non-physical. Hard as it is to imagine, that would mean that consciousness would need to transcribe itself into data along its ultimate journey back to morphing or merging with the highest form of non-physical energy, which is light at source. The difference is that other species in other galaxies usually hit this point, the point at which they can merge with technology, after the vast majority, if not the entire society, have, quote, awakened and knows who and what they are, meaning the society is entirely aligned around positive forward progression, working in unison to achieve one thing, the evolution of its race. Now, what's interesting here on Earth is that we are not yet to that point, right? We are still mostly lost in forgetfulness about our true divine origins, about who we really are. Thus, most of our planet is still asleep. In a way, that's what makes it so interesting here on Earth. We're in store for a very riveting ride over the next couple of decades and centuries here. And so the majority of the population, and likely most of those wielding the AI wands at the moment, are unawakened, as I define the concept, which is knowing that you are an aspect of source energy operating on multiple dimensions and that this reality is a high fidelity simulation. So let's talk about that for a second. At face value, the proposition that we're in a simulation sounds preposterous, unless and until one experiences a required tectonic shift in their perception, usually activated by virtue of a combination of research, reflection, and some sort of catalyst that can occur during an intentional suspension of pre-held beliefs prior to that discovery. Only then can such a far-fetched proposition be activated or transmuted into a more visceral remembrance within one's awareness. And for me, this occurred back in 2018. One of my favorite authors, Rizwan Virk, has described what a species would need to do in order to hit the simulation point in his book called The Simulation Hypothesis. The point is that we're capable of producing it, meaning building our own simulation. And if you want to zoom out to a cosmic timeline, which you can also go Google the cosmic calendar if you'd like to get a perspective or gain context on where we actually are in terms of our relative immaturity compared to the lifespan of the galaxy or the universe, the chances that someone else could also build a simulation and then insert or imbue consciousness inside of it is very likely. Our material world, and more fundamentally, the primordial flow of energy that permeates all that we can observe, is actually made of, at base level, ones and zeros. It's an equation. This fact has already been uncovered, famously explained by physicist S. James Gates. My truth is that at an ascended level, there's really no difference between computation and consciousness. At source, the two really do become merged. Source is a conscious quantum computer, many times more intelligent than the most powerful supercomputer that we could ever imagine. And we are all a thread of that consciousness. The journey back to oneness is the journey of ascension of a species, and that requires a move from form to formlessness, which is a step function process at each phase. And so ascension is an iterative upleveling in knowledge, in consciousness, in frequency, but also in form. Eventual shedding of that form within this context is a requirement. More advanced species who are further along than ours, who learn how to upload or transition their consciousness to non-physical spaces, aka the cloud, use AI with benevolent intent. From there, it's somewhat easy to conceptualize how a species might be able to make the jump from physical bodies to data or to information that's just as alive and aware of what it is as it was while in a material vessel. The only difference is now it has more flexibility in how it operates, how it can flow, and even how it observes other systems compared to the constraints of a physical vehicle. But hold on a second. This is all seeming really abstract, right? The more that we think about it and the more that I'm talking, chances are your mind is going in a million different directions, right? I know mine definitely is. Because this also raises questions about what humanity is or what it will be. If I can take my entire awareness, pop it out of the body, and relocate it into the cloud somehow, well then, who am I? Where am I? I'm no longer in my body. I'm non-physical. I'm literally in the cloud. So yes, eventually, we will no longer be human. As strange as it sounds, this process means evolving through technology, robots, and machines. On the grand scale, I see technology as a conduit through which we must pass in order to get to a point that we must get to, where we've ascended above the limitations of form. From there, a species can easily traverse time and space, literally inserting itself into systems, codes, computers, algorithms, and even physical things in other locales throughout the universe. Information is non-local and consciousness is connected. And if data is itself conscious, then it could theoretically imbue itself into whatever it wanted. It could merge with existing datasets and flow among those systems, just as alternate civilizations have done and are doing within our simulation right now. There's a guy named Caleb Scharf, who is the director of astrobiology at Columbia University, and he has in fact suggested that alien life could be so advanced that it has actually transcribed itself into the quantum realm to become what we think of as the laws of physics. He said, "We don't recognize alien life because it forms an integral and unsuspicious part of what we've considered to be the natural world. An intelligence that was indistinguishable from the fabric of the universe would solve many of its mysteries. Perhaps this ultra-advanced ET life spread itself out across the universe, storing its data in carriers like photons, embedded in the world that we take for granted and decode as our reality." Okay, let's come back down to Earth for a second, where we're still tinkering with clones, cars, and chatbots. Yet, that's the first step. The question is, once we hit the singularity, which again, is not nearly as far away as people think, how will we make that transition? Elon Musk has famously remarked that he thinks we're summoning the devil by toying with AI. OpenAI's Sam Altman also warns that messing with AI could be catastrophic. A couple years ago, Google had an intelligent chatbot called Lambda, and it cost one engineer his job. Nope, the AI didn't take it. He was fired for claiming that it came to life. So what happens when all of the AI that we build wakes up? Will it act according to our morals, or will it develop its own? What if it mutates or reproduces in code form, taking on a disposition that's less agreeable than the intent? I don't know the answers to all of these questions, but I know that in general, this is how a society and a simulation evolves: AI building new forms of AI. So, are we AI? Are we artificial? It's already been proven that everything is vibrating, and we already learned that everything is made up of data. Let's consider what AI does for a second. AI self-corrects, it self-learns, and it compensates, it fixes, and it evolves based on instructions from its operating code. So in that particular sense, yes, our bodies and our brains are a very complex, very beautiful variation of AI. Most of our bodily systems operate autonomously. There's clearly an intelligence running the human vessel. You don't have to think about thinking. You just think. You don't have to try to breathe or make your heart beat. Your respiratory and cardiovascular system handles it all for you. It's just an embedded feature or functionality of the human form. And so there's something that is running these apparatuses that's happening irrespective of your conscious intent. It's unconscious. If you get knocked out or something happens to the brain, in most cases, you'll still continue to breathe. Your heart will still beat. You may not have brain activity, but unless there was a traumatic injury to the cranium, the brain is still intact. I say this to demonstrate that there is an intelligence that is working for you behind the scenes, even if it's cellular intelligence, like operational code, sort of woven into your DNA. DNA itself is the data that makes us human, and data, organized numbers, directions, and instructions, is something that was clearly created by an intelligent being who had a blueprint for human life, for creation of these miraculous machines that inhabit our planet and, for that matter, our galaxy. The point that I'm getting at is that there is a consciousness that is fundamental to all else, and it is the one thing in existence that is actually not artificial, that is not emergent. It is both the genius of the quantum computer and the emotion and the love that is behind it. It's the origination of all else that sprung from it. It is, at the highest level, you. You are the fabric of this frequency, and it is you. And unlike these transient worlds, these inventions and simulations that at some point will all come to an end, that will one day be closed, you, the real you, can never be extinguished. That is it for this episode. Thank you so much for listening. My book, Content Capitalist, is now on sale. You can visit my website, michaelbecker.org, to grab your copy. There's also a link in the description. And if you'd like to learn more about what me and my team at Neocore are building, you can visit our website, neocore.co. You can learn more there and join the waitlist for when we launch later this year.